everybody just sticks around. So thank you, everybody, for sticking around with this. We just actually got in to the actual conversation.
Yeah.
So real quick snapshot of everything that you missed. This weekend, I hung out with Buddy Guy and had some drinks and talked about his family and had a really amazing time. George, you've been moving over the last week. You're coming up to Indiana. We talked about it last week.
Yeah, we busted news. So, yeah, I'm coming home.
You're coming home.
Yeah, we should. That should be the theme. I'm going to play that song. I'm coming home. Yeah, I'm coming home. And so I'm excited for the next 3 months or so, 4 months. And then I'll be, you know, just kind of struggling when white fluffy stuff falls from the sky. The reason why I left. But no, you know, family has brought us home, and it's kind of a bittersweet. It's great to be home, closer to family, some of the family, you know, parents that are going through some health things. And we just want to be closer to them. And, you know, nothing was really holding us back outside of our, I won't say selfish, but just our desires of being in the South in the warmer area. And opportunities. And it literally, you say, how long have you been contemplating this? This has been just a few weeks. Like this is a moment.
It's wild,
where, you know, Amber was really, this has been something that I've been fighting for 6 months.
Yeah.
The answer was no. And like Amber really insisted. I'm like, no, I'm here every other week anyway. Like,
It won't make any difference.
Traveling. She's like, Dexter has school. And I'm like, Dexter has family intent. Like they can take care of it while we're on the road.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to miss out on a lot of opportunities in those moments and memories, you know, for selfish reasons. And so what I did is that my boy Dexter, D-Money, he was on my side. You know? So what I do is I felt like growing up, I didn't have a lot of opportunities to make critical decisions. Let's face it, kids probably shouldn't make big decisions like whether or not we're going to move or not, right? But I wanted to because – one, I wanted him to have a say-so. Even if we didn't go with that, you know, it's kind of like work. At least I'm at that decision-making table.
Right.
And I get input from my perspective. At least it was taken in consideration.
Right.
Right? But my whole thought process, Ryan, was that Dexter ain't want to move. Like, the only thing that Dexter misses about Indiana is that, he does has a lot of family friends here.
Right.
He does miss snow. Like, he loves snow.
Yeah.
But he's young, so he should, right?
Yeah.
And the Pacers. He loves Miles Turner. Miles Turner, he had a cool experience with Miles Turner growing up, and Mal would give him a headband. And so those, like, the three things he missed. Those three things we can come and see. We can
come and see family friends.
We can come during the wintertime, and we'll check out a few Pacer games every year.
Right.
And so I was like, there ain't no way this kid, he got his first best friend ever.
He's going to want to stay.
He's going to want to stay for his friend. And we spent about a week and a half here in June. And literally 4th of July week, he said, I wish I was in Indy with Lily and Kenny.
That's cool.
And all my friends there. I think we should move because they need me. And immediately – I went, Operation Reverse Your Mind.
You had to go in a different
because he direction. He was the final decision. Like, literally, I told Amber, like, if Dexter wants to move, although I may not want to, two against one.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm happy. It's not like I hate coming back here. Like, I'm, like, disgruntled. Because Amber's like, if you don't want to be here, we're not doing it. Because it's not going to be your
own. Right.
You know what I'm saying? But. I'm excited, man. That, like, the more we talk about it, we're like 70% packed. We got rid of a bunch of Punisher last week, like gave it away or sold it.
Nice.
Either yard sale, garage sale, whatever. And when we go back, it's just small day-to-day stuff. Amber was so excited that she packed up the whole kitchen and forgot we still had to eat and cook. Like, we had no cooking utensils. It was all in a box. Like, what are we doing? Like, I'm not eating out every day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, at least get a hamburger scooper. Like, we'll do some fried rice on the flat top, the Blackstone. We, you know, just get, like, the core stuff. We're paper plating it for, like, the last month.
That's awesome.
Like, that's how Dexter was packed 3 weeks ago, bro.
Really?
Like, he's got all his stuff. All he has in his room is his bed and his shoe rack that we built in an empty desk.
Yeah.
And then he has a small book bag of, like, day-to-day Legos and stuff that he wants to play with. But everything else, bro, is, like, packed. Like, packed. We're going on a trip. You know, the nonprofit we're launching for Dexter. We're going on a trip tonight, taking the family, going with the family, Jason's family, Jennifer and Lily and Kenny. We're going to Detroit Tigers game tomorrow.
Nice.
We're going to drive over to Canada, over to Toronto, enjoy a day at Toronto Friday.
Nice.
And then go to the baseball game Friday night.
And then move.
and then go to Niagara Falls Saturday, and then come back, drop them off, you know, and then we're going back to Nashville packing up to move. So we got a busy week, man. I'm excited. I'm like
busy
adrenaline.
Week. Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's once you get to our age, once you stop, you start feeling things that you – so I got to keep going.
Like, oh, I know. Stop. You. No, that's what I was thinking.
August 8th is when I can like –
You got to get into it like your Taz. You got to jump in and just
I got to go.
Just run.
Once this back locks up, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hitting massage table. I'm getting a mani-pedi. I'm doing all that stuff. I'm going to soak in some nice bubble bath water. I'm doing all that man.
But right now, you're
stuff.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
But yeah, I'm on a roll right now, baby. I got 5 hours of sleep last night. Woke up at 5:30. No alarm clock. Just like, boom. Like I was excited.
Why you're ready.
No coffee. Just straight warm water.
You're ready.
I'm ready.
You're ready.
In the words of Lance Stevenson, born ready. I was born ready.
Do you think Lance Stevenson is the best NBA player of all time?
Lance Stevenson, he may not go down as the best, but he is the most fan energetic.
Yeah.
Like he belongs to Indiana.
Yeah.
Charlotte,
LA, I feel the same
all
way.
All the stops.
You know where he played high school ball?
Brooklyn. Yeah. You'll look something.
I think he won the shooting. I mean, for years, he was a top sharp shooter. You don't think about it in the NBA.
Yeah.
You don't think Lance Stevenson, great sharp shooter in the NBA, but high school, drain it.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite players just because I love that kind of style. It's like you get all these professional people in suits. You know, you got LeBron. I mean, they got style and stuff. But Lance is like – it's like he came off the streets. You know what I'm saying? Like he comes right off of it and brings street ball into NBA. I don't know. I love that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember when he came back, the second stint.
Yeah.
And him and his family, after the game, literally just walking the street. They didn't take a bus, a car. Like, he didn't have much. He just walked straight to the hotel, bro.
Yeah.
But before he did all that, there was 20, 30 people outside.
He's a good dude.
Taking pictures of her. Yeah,
he's a really good dude.
And then, Lance, if you're watching this, meet us at Hooters. Wings on me, bro. That was a spot after the game. Georgia Street.
I don't think Lance is hanging out at Hooters anymore.
Oh, you never know.
You never know. Hey, so today's topic is really cool. By the way, welcome, everyone. Our mics, again, were messed up in the beginning, but here we are. And we're talking about why are people leaving the workplace? Just looking at the ideas around what to do about that, right? Because we have a lot of data that's fresh off the press, right out of Lighthouse Research and Advisory with Ben Eubanks. Big shout out to Ben. We love Ben. I don't know, what do you call him? The prophet of data?
Yeah, he's the data king.
The data king, yeah. Ben Eubanks. And so we have some fresh numbers that we're going to discuss today. We also are looking at why are people leaving, you know? I think a big part of why people are leaving is because they don't have reasons to stay.
Yeah.
Because people, we talked about it last few days, people don't love change. They're not like, oh, I can't wait to change jobs. If anybody's ever changed a job, it's not easy to do. Yeah. It's a process. But why are people willing to take on that amount of change in their life when people are change adverse, right? Like we don't like to change, but we're willing to jump ship out of a workplace like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe it's not an immediate, like I need to leave and go find somewhere else. But according to the data, it's not like everyone's like totally aligned with our workplace and like committed in terms of like, I want to work here long-term. People are thinking in short-term experiences of work, right? Like young people carry multiple jobs. And that's generationally, right? That's not anything new. But what we do see now is a greater expectation, not just to say, okay, you know, I'm going to get a job and get a good paycheck and I'm going to stick around because of that. But what are you offering beyond that that is more relational and not just operational, right? Yeah. Like what, because retention can be operationalized through programs, but it's sustained through relationship. The reason people stick around is because they're connected to leadership. They're connected to each other. They're connected to the customers. They have relationship. Relationship actually leads to retention. That's the reality.
Yeah.
That's
it's key. I'll share this because when we talk about relationships, what happens when you have a relationship? You feel connected, right?
Yeah.
You feel.
That is what relationship is. Yeah.
That you're tied into. Even furthermore, in the workplace, we call that having a sense of what? Belonging.
Right.
Like, I feel like I belong because of that. And so looking at that, so the psychological definition of belonging on this research that we did at Lighthouse Research Advisory, and this is a study that we're going to come out. Join us August 10th. I'll plug it August 10th.
Yeah.
Here in a few weeks, August 10th, we're going to be releasing the full data with our sponsor, Quantum Workplace, along with many others. We'll announce some more of that stuff on the Lighthouse Research side of things. But the psychological definition of belonging is I feel accepted, respected, and appreciated by my direct leader, right? So that means
by my direct leader.
By my direct leader. That means Ryan is my leader. I'm an employee on the team. Ryan is my direct leader. I have a sense of belonging when Ryan shows me acceptance, respect, and appreciation for who I am, where I am, why I am to that moment, right? For those people, When we looked at the data, one of the most intriguing things that I found is those people who are staying in their jobs, they're staying. They also are saying, you know what? I feel respected, accepted, and appreciated.
Yep.
Almost double, two times more than those people who
are staying.
Those who are staying, 86%. 86% of those people who are staying say, I feel accepted, appreciated and respected by my direct leader. They said I have a sense of belonging. 86%, right?
86%. So belonging's people, tied direct. That's relationship.
That's retention. I'm staying, right?
Yep.
So why are you staying? It's connection to leadership. Those people who are planning on leaving today or within the next 6 months on that same thought process, how do you feel?
Yeah.
Do you feel accepted?
These are people that are looking to leave in the next 6 months.
Exactly. So those people who are looking to leave, 46%, literally two times, right? It drops.
Yeah.
Those people who are not connected, right? Those people who don't have a sense of belonging are leaving. And one of those ties to that is that they don't have a leader that really accepts, respects, and appreciates them.
Yeah.
They don't have that connection. So leadership's tied to it. We said it while we were muted earlier that I had a friend, I was having a conversation with somebody just this in the last week.
Yeah.
And the leadership, they're a great leader.
Yep.
In fact, I look to them in when it comes to leadership.
Right.
Right. But they're losing people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that people are leaving. They don't leave bad companies. They're leaving bad managers. Not that they're leaving bad managers. They're now saying I'm leaving bad culture, too. What is that? Because Ryan is a good leader. I'm going to leave. Why am I going to leave Ryan? Well, you know what? It's not just about Ryan. It's what Ryan can and cannot do.
So you're saying you're saying within the context of work that people do stay because of their direct leader, because of the appreciation, respect, and what was the other?
Appreciation.
Acceptance.
Respected.
Respect and appreciation. Okay. So when we see that, then what you're saying is, but if they see that their boss's boss, or if the culture doesn't allow their boss. That's one of the biggest things too, because I see managers many times have to fill a position as the culture buffer, almost like the real culture is happening behind the scenes with executive leadership, decision making, but overall, you know, we could be in a toxic culture, but then we have this manager that really wants there to be a strong team and develop a team. And then that manager not only has to take on the development of their team and the growth of their team, they also have to be a buffer from everything else going on in the workplace.
Yeah.
You know, if there's and that becomes an issue to your point, because nobody wants to if you can't see above who you're working for, your leader. And when you look above your leader and you see that those leaders actually have your leader on their thumb and are micromanaging your leader. Mm-hmm. And every time your team goes to do something, your manager says, well, we can't do that. We can't do that. It's never been done that way. They won't allow us to do that. Blah, da, 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 da. After a while, you start realizing this team has no power.
Yeah.
This team is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So to your point, not only is it feeling a sense of belonging with your direct manager, it's feeling a sense of belonging to the team and the entire culture.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it this, Ryan, and we see this a lot in the workplaces. What happens when you realize everything that your leader desires stops with them?
Yeah.
There's no growth. So everything that they're trying to do and promise you
yeah.
won't come to pass.
Nah.
You learn that. You realize that after a while. And so what do you want to do? Right? In 2022, last year, the primary reasons why people were quitting their job, the top three reasons was policies and culture.
Right.
Right? Stress and burnout. And then pay and benefits.
Yep.
Right? Those are the top three. And what we're seeing now is that a lot of people are saying, you know, it's the culture. But yeah. Who's controlling the culture? Like, we talk about the one thing that employees can do
yes.
is control the culture.
Right.
But what happens when the leadership is really holding back the culture or really holding back other leaders?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Your growth is stunted. Right. And so then you look at it and say, you know what? I don't have a growth plan here.
Yeah.
So I want to be paid more.
Yeah.
We're seeing that in research where people say, you know what? If you're not going to have a growth plan right yeah. for me, then I want more pay.
Yeah. Because and it to the point that we talked about earlier, people are getting paid more to get hired than they mm-hmm. are to stay hired. If you're paying people that are coming in off the street more than you paid someone that was with you through the pandemic and was consistent and you know, showing up to work when other people weren't.
Right.
And all of a sudden you find out George just got hired off the street and doesn't have 10 years of investment in this company.
Yeah.
And George is getting paid more than me because they incentivized him with more pay. Yeah. So there's all kinds of reasons why. And you really have to look at your company and say, and ask the question, like, what are we asking people to stay a part of?
Yeah.
Not necessarily just why are people leaving?
Yeah.
Why in the hell would they ever stay? That's the question.
Yeah. Why would they want to stay?
Why would they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I guess we're done with that.
No, you know, I'm thinking to myself, why would they want to stay? Why would I want to stay? Like, you put it personal. Why does George and Ryan stay?
Yeah.
Right? And I'll reverse it. I'll even do this. I'll get personal. I'll be real personal. I'll share why I stay for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Because naturally, you come from my perspective where I've come from. And when I say where I'm coming from, you know, growing up in Indianapolis,
yeah.
right, in the inner city,
yep.
not a lot of, you know, a place of belonging. There's not that sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Right. From a culture standpoint, in a safe environment.
Right.
You're like surviving.
Yeah.
You know, when I was growing up in the 80s and
there wasn't a safe space.
It wasn't a safe. It was how do I survive?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are some nights, some weekends where how do I survive by getting to the lowest point in my house?
Yeah.
Right. It was a physical survival of gunshots and violence
yeah.
From there. So growing up, I've always had that desire to connect.
Yeah.
To a fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To a fault. Every time I leave, like right now, there's two or three people in Tennessee that I'm trying to pull to Indiana.
100%.
Yeah. Like recruiting the hell out of them. Some people want to come and I'm like, nope, your fellow ain't checking. Like, it's just natural. I want to be connected. I've always desired that community. Right. It's not necessarily that family.
Well, you're like, yeah. And because of
but
that,
I love the community of connecting with people. And once there's a true connection, I want that person to know that, like, there's nothing here that I'm trying to do just for my benefit, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of leaders, we keep people because we benefit from them. We benefit yeah. from their creativity. We benefit from their the things.
Well, that's the question. Table, right? Like, what's retention about?
So we hold
about?
On to
right.
good people for all the wrong reasons, selfishly,
right.
when we should empower and invest and see them grow to the next level. That's my desire. Is like, I want to see people just take that next step in life. That's
whether they stay on my team or go to another team. Or
but hey, if you want to come with me and I can help you get to the next step, come. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And I just want to see you flourish. Like
right.
That's my true desire that I have because I had a few people in my life that did show up
yeah.
and stay
yeah.
and do that.
So you tend to because of what you went through personally, and this is important to understand because when we talk about this, and champion your culture, we're not talking about a one size fits all for every organization, every yeah. person. And that's why relationship is so key to this, because George wouldn't talk about these things if there wasn't relationship.
Yeah.
People don't talk about their childhood in the workplace.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear about your childhood trauma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Save your childhood trauma for your mama.
Some people are scared to share it, right? You're right. Scared to share it. Be vulnerable because of what could...
Well, what...
Somebody
what,
may use that against you. But I literally stayed on... I stayed as an employee in places. I stayed in a nonprofit. I stayed as a pastor in ministry and church.
Yeah.
14 years of my life. I stayed longer than I ever really truly desired to. And not to get into the religious purposes, I know there's like... You were called there, but no, I stayed places because I had this sense that I had to remain loyal to people versus being loyal to my purpose.
Yeah.
Because people are going to come and go.
It's almost your a difference. Is, yeah. You're you know looking for like, a sure footing on concrete.
I was comfortable and I was loyal to people and I didn't want to let people down.
Yeah.
Right. Because why? Because I was let down and I know that feeling. So I don't want to have that feeling.
And so for you personally.
And people do that in the workplace. They stay because. And I don't want somebody down. I don't want my, I know how much my leader needs me. And if I leave, I know the pressure
that wears on
him
you.
Or her.
And that wears,
and that wears on people.
And people break down. People that people experience like the breakdown and they're you know going through those struggles and,
I
and the stressors.
The next,
what's that?
I want to add that question to our next
why would people stay?
Well, our next survey. I'm gonna have to tell Ben that.
Yeah.
That
why are you staying?
Why are you staying? Are you staying because
Lord, because that's what that's the thing. Like I love in the last couple of years that HR departments have started introducing stay interviews. Mm-hmm. So exit interviews being where when someone's leaving, they're already leaving.
Yeah.
So how do we get people to be honest with us while they're here? Mm-hmm. When they're honest, when they're leaving, there's nothing much we can do about it. I mean, right. We can start to listen and find patterns of why people are leaving. If it's a specific manager, we would know that, right? We can do some A/B testing, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, we need to find out why would you stay here? What are the things that keep you here? Yeah. Beyond what you were talking about, childhood trauma, all the complexities of you know, codependency, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why people connect with leadership and so forth. But what we keep going back to and what I keep finding is that retention and relationship are not mutually exclusive. You can't have retention without relationship. Mm-hmm. And the more you build relationship, the more you'll have retention. So where I see retention scores, like if our retention is at 60%, 70%, what I'm saying is a great majority of those 70% either are keeping their job because they have to keep a paycheck and they don't have any other options. Or, you know, they do see growth and they see development. They have that sense of belonging. So we know why people are leaving. And by identifying why people are leaving, we can identify why people stay.
Yeah.
But we need to start implementing those things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like implement, like grow, like find the bright spots of our culture of what people love and multiply that by 100 times.
Yeah.
Like 100x that shit. Like that's what you do. You keep investing in what's working. How are people connecting in relationship with leaders and with each other? And how are we fostering that type of culture of connection and belonging, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, really good stats on that one, man. So belonging is a key component.
Belonging is a key. So, and I'll share these three, and I can share tons of this stuff, especially on the retention side.
Yeah.
But those people who feel accepted and respected and appreciated, right?
Yeah.
These three things, and I'll rattle them off. 8 times more likely to say they are happy in their current position with no plans to quit.
Say that a little slow because I didn't even catch it.
Eight times more likely.
Now, these are people who are
happy. Have a sense of belonging.
Okay, so if you have a sense of belonging, they're 8 times happier.
Happier in their current position.
In their current position, okay.
Those people who feel accepted, respected, and appreciated, sense of belonging, again, 4 times more likely to say their company's culture helps them be productive and satisfied in their work, right? And so because my direct leader accepts, respects, and appreciates me, my productivity, you talk about productivity. We talk about, are you satisfied with doing what you do and why you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
You have that sense of belonging, you know that. 9 times more likely to say their work is appreciated on a regular basis.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. So this is that nudging piece that we were talking about. Like I think Home Depot set in these little nudges, which I'm not promoting Home Depot as the ultimate culture here, right, because every culture has issues.
Right.
So as we're saying this, we're just saying this element. Small
things that they do to help improve their culture.
Little nudges along the way. It's what you're talking about. It's like appreciation and allowing that to be a part of the everyday. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think it's more than, and this is to a fault to myself, not necessarily to myself, but our leadership team in our retail stores back in the day, Jeans Phone Repair, it was like, we always did the whole, here's some food, right?
Here's the pizza. We made our numbers. Here's some pizza.
Yeah. It's not all about that, man. Nah. Some people, we talked about this earlier in our podcast series about the importance of understanding everybody's language. I believe it was with Shannon, because we were talking about the love, you know, back to how truly being, bringing human back into human resources, really.
Yeah.
And we not just love what you do, but love why you do it and who you do it with.
Love your
like
who.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to say I love you, right?
Yeah.
Like, I understand.
Sometimes like, I say that on a business call, like a sales call. Just because it's nature natural. For me. And as I'm going off the sales call, I'm like, hey, love you, man. And they're like, what?
Yeah. Or the best part is when they say love you.
Yeah, I know. They're always like, it's like, oh, we crossed over.
Yeah, this is a done deal.
It's a real relationship.
The sale is done.
It's a real relationship. But
people want to have that feeling.
Yeah.
Sometimes the love language is not gifts.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's affirmation.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Sometimes it's, hey, pat on the back.
That absolutely.
Small physical touch of, hey, I just want to let you know. You're appreciated.
Yeah. You got to know your people. That's what I'm saying, man.
You got to have that relationship.
Retention and relationship can't be separated.
Yeah.
If you have high retention, you have good relationship with people. Yeah. Where there's relationship between management and frontline leaders, frontline employees, like the people that are doing the work, when there's strong connection there, relationship brings belonging, right? Because if I don't have relationship with you, then I'm trying to fit in.
Yeah.
And we always talk about don't hire for culture fit, but what about how are we're trying to retain people by getting them to fit into the culture.
Yeah.
And it's all behavioral. It's like, if we can get people to behave like the values, then they'll stay. And that's not how it works. It's not like, hey, if we put more rules in place, then people definitely want to be a part of it.
Right.
You know, it's like we can't make everybody happy all the time. But we can foster these things. We can foster environments. Mm-hmm. We can create spaces where when people come in, they feel welcome. I'll give you an example. We moved into this new studio, and this is downstairs in our building, our headquarters, round room, culture of good, TCC, wireless zone, Redux, all of us here in this building.
Stash
with cannabis. Yeah. Great, great companies all collected together. But when we're upstairs, we're in a space. It's real quiet and dark.
Incubator. That's what it's called.
It's called the incubator.
It's the new company.
Yeah, we're like little baby chickens breaking out of a shell.
You know what I just thought about? We're so close to Scott. Like, we're literally like up there near Scott's
office.
He has his baby.
We're a little test tube. We're Scott's little test tube babies. But I came downstairs this morning for the first time, like in a long time, because usually I'm setting up upstairs.
Yeah.
And the first person that I ran across said, oh, they let you out of your box? I'm joking with me, right?
Yeah.
And then the next person was like, oh, it's good to see you here. Good to see you downstairs, Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how you doing? I was like, I don't know that I want to stay upstairs. It's happier down here.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
I think it's just more of a vibe. There's more people because, like, we're inside.
Yeah.
So we're like inside the office that's inside.
But isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Just that indicated something to me, though. Yeah. And I agree with you. It's the space.
I mean,
space.
There's five or six of us in a.
It's just different. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, these things. If you don't have relationship with me and you're my boss, you don't know how I'm relating to all of that.
Yeah.
But when you have relationship with me and we have clear communication and we have opportunities to talk about life and work, how do we expect our employees to have work-life balance or work-life harmony when they can't even talk about their life when they come to work?
Yeah.
If I can't even talk about it, if it can't impact anything I'm doing at work, if I can't, if I have to check my life at the door to come to work, there is no work-life anything.
Yeah.
You know, what we've created is what we're afraid of, that robots will replace us.
Yeah.
What we're doing is we're replacing ourselves with more of that type of mentality that's not human. Mm-hmm. And so we're dehumanizing ourselves. It's not that we are afraid, we should be afraid of robots replacing us. Certainly there's a lot of industries where that is, but also we're being replaced by dehumanized type work environments. And what we're saying more and more, and I think employees are looking for, is saying, not only tell me why I need to stay here or why I shouldn't quit, but why should I also be so involved in this that I want to tell others that they should come be a part of it? That's where you get to grow a business because of the culture, because your people love it so much, they go out and say, you should work for us. Yeah. That's how you know whether you're doing culture right or not. It's not whether you have a killer recruitment team that keeps you know, fresh bodies on the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
It's whether you have the people that are there referring others to come your work
greatest,
for you.
Your greatest marketing is inside.
Yeah. And that's also your worst. That's also where your worst marketing is as well.
Yeah.
Because the good stories leave the door when people leave. And let me tell you, the bad stories leave too.
Oh yeah. They're not even out the door yet.
It's on Facebook already.
It's on social media.
It's on Reddit, anti-work.
It's in the family group chat.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It's the text message that you get before you even walk into the workplace on a Monday, right? Like you going to that place again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad culture, man. It's a reflection of the similarities of when we had our retail stories in our retail stores, man. It was one good customer to us equal five good you know, feedbacks. One bad review was like 10 plus.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because negative people love negativity.
Yeah.
And they want to avoid negativity. Right. Some people love it because they want to avoid that experience,
right? Yeah.
And then some people just love it because they just love the
drama. They just love the drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love the drama. So it was always important to make sure the culture, everything was healthy inside.
Yeah.
Because that one negative experience sets you back so much more than that five positive did.
Yeah.
It's more than two steps forward, one step back.
Yep.
It's like, you know, two steps back or two steps forward and 10, 20 steps back.
That's rough. Yeah.
When it comes to work.
Yeah. And people feel that a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of frustration with recruiters. There's a lot of frustration with companies, you know, and I think it's really important for us to have this conversation, because if we don't have these talks, and I think a lot of times we feel alone in this, you know, like we're not doing our job good enough, you know, and the problem is, like, you know, it's hard to be a vacuum salesperson when every time you show up with a vacuum and plug it in, it smokes.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to recruit people to a culture where people know, you know, you can go on Glassdoor and find a real quick snapshot about a culture. And a lot of that's the exit interview piece of it. And again, that's why we have to not wait for the exit interview, start doing the stay interviews 90 days in, making sure that we have real strong connection. George, we always talk about the four things we need to go over with each one of our team members every single quarter: their role, their strengths, their values, and their purpose. RSVP every single quarter. We teach this, we train on it, we develop on it. Why? Because we need to re-engage people. It's not about engagement, it's about re-engagement. There's no longer this like engagement program and then all of a sudden we're done. We can't just plug and play engagement and then woof, we got it done. We're finished. It's an ongoing thing. It's 3 years of work, right? It's consistent habit forming of ensuring that people know why they're staying. They not only know why they're staying, but they know if there are elements within the culture that need work. I have leaders that are aware and they're working on it. It's not that people are looking for perfect cultures. They just want to know when there's an issue, they have leadership that can support the changes that need to be made.
Yeah.
And they want to know that there's clarity around those changes and connecting with that. Yeah. You know, that's what people want. They want clarity and they want relationship. They want that connection so that they know this is where I can grow. This is where I can get more than a paycheck.
Yeah.
This is where I can feel purpose.
Yeah.
This is a leader that actually gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
Right. Like, so not true. Perfect leader.
Yeah. There's no such thing.
Nah. Never.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, people are more gracious to a leader who's honest, who says, hey, I'm guilty, right? Yeah. I messed up. And vulnerable, people are more open to that. It's what you said before our mic shut off. I love that you said it's like people generally don't leave good leaders, right? Like they're not like, you know what? I just think this leader is, they just care a little too much about me and about my growth and development. And I'm just going to bounce.
Yeah. Don't hear that much.
Don't hear that much. That should tell you enough about where retention lives. Retention lives in that middle management, that frontline leadership where 80% of your workforce leads up to the frontline management. So if we don't have that locked in, if your frontline managers aren't really leaders, if they've been promoted to that position, it's no wonder why so many people are leaving, because they manage 80% of the workforce, frontline management. And so that piece right there is really where the focus needs to be.
Training, developing, two different things.
Way different.
The importance of developing your leaders and equipping them with what they truly need is a value.
I mean, retention leads to what? Increased revenue, better experiences for employees.
Higher productivity.
Morale. Right?
The morale is different. The productivity is even more because you're not putting somebody new into it trying to learn.
Better customer experience because of that. You don't have it. I would have that in retail stores where people come in and be like, where's Terry at?
Yeah.
Like, Terry's no longer with us.
It goes back to relationships.
And they'll be like, oh man, Terry's been my person for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. And every time I come in, Terry always took care. And then they get with you know, Jim over here, and Jim doesn't know what the hell he's doing because he just got hired. And now it's a bad customer experience. You know, you've got to improve, you know, George, you've been talking about it, improving your culture.
Yeah.
You know, there's by focusing on what we're talking about, the focus of retention as an objective causes us to improve our culture because we can't get there without an improved culture, and we can't stay there without effective leadership.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's so true. Man, I feel like we're getting, I want to go deeper in this.
Yeah.
Maybe we continue it.
Okay.
Let's continue the conversation.
Yeah.
Part two or.
Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good.
We'll keep some.
Yeah. What keeps people in your workplace? So that's one of the biggest things that we're going to leave you with here today. Thank you for joining with us today. Brought to you by Culture of Good. Listen, champion your culture. We're here to talk about really a snapshot on leadership and culture every single week. George, I love this conversation because at the end of the day, if we're going to have connection and belonging with our employees, we're going to have to do it intentionally.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen organically. Yeah. We can't just like show up to work and hope this all happens. And with everyone working remotely and hybrid work and blah, 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 there's a lot of complexity with that. Yeah. So we'll get into all of those details and because now we have leaders that have long distance relationships with their employees.
And we were raised in long distance relationships don't work.
Yeah.
They don't last long.
They don't last long. So and how are we doing that?
Yeah, we're seeing it done.
And yeah, it's tough.
Is it healthy?
Is it healthy and can it be healthy? How to do it in the healthiest ways? It's not going to be perfect. It ain't perfect when we're together in person. It certainly is not going to be perfect when we're working remotely, but how do we get it better? We always say it this way, and I'll leave you with this. There's no such thing as a perfect culture, but yours doesn't have to suck. So seriously, thank you for joining us today. Yeah. George, it's always good to see you, man.
It's good to be here, man.
Yeah.
Good to be here. Thank you for joining us on Champion Your Culture. Until next week, same time, same place.
Yeah.
Same channel.
Same channel. Yep. All the channels. We love you, and we hope we'll see you next week on
Champion Your Culture.
Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us on Champion Your Culture podcast today.
We're so excited that you're here and want to invite you to connect with us. You can watch the show weekly on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or LinkedIn, and listen anywhere you get podcasts.
Subscribe today to get new relevant content each week on how to champion yourself and your team. Thanks again for listening to
Champion Your Culture.